Welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, August 15th. I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly. At the start of the week, New Hanover County Commissioners unanimously approved $1.3 million in CARES Act funding to create two new programs, child care support and housing assistance. The meeting also ended with a motion not on the agenda. WHQR's Rachel Keith has the details.
Now that K-12 schools are opening online only, families can apply to receive a child care subsidy of $155 per child per week for 12 weeks. And families who qualify for the program must send them to a participating licensed facility in the county. In addition to child care, the county is also offering a one-time payment up to $2,000 for residents to avoid eviction or foreclosure. County officials say family assessments will be completed to determine need. The commissioners separately approved a special use permit for Seacoast Christian Academy to open a child care center and funded debris removal for Hurricane Isaias. As the meeting ended, Commission Chair Julia Olson-Bozeman offered a surprise motion that would restrict appointments to the board of the foundation that will control the $1.25 billion proceeds from the sale of the hospital.
I would like to make a motion that any members of the New Hanover Regional Board of Trustees or any elected official will not be allowed to be on that foundation for a period of 2 years after leaving office.
The motion passed 4-1 with Vice Chair Pat Kusick voting no. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
At its Tuesday evening meeting, the New Hanover County Board of Education continued its debate about renaming Parsley Elementary School. I filed this report. Walter L. Parsley was a white supremacist and co-conspirator in the 1898 Wilmington coup d'etat. His grandson, also named Walter L. Parsley, inherited the family property in the Masonboro Sound area, and in 1999 sold a little more than 17 acres to New Hanover County Schools. Walter L. Parsley Elementary opened in 2001. Simple enough. But after that, it gets complicated. Was the school named after the grandfather or the grandson? That's not quite clear, and for some, that's an issue. Board member Nelson Bollier.
Because these names are the exact same, the perception has become the reality. And knowing the reality of the 1898 Walter L. Parsley, I can't turn from that. I can't know what I know and know the pain that it causes some people and ignore that.
With pressure mounting to change the name, the board ultimately decided that changing the overall school naming policy offered an alternative to debating which Walter the school was named after. Why not name all schools after neighborhoods, like Holly Tree or Winter Park? Chairperson of the board, Lisa Estep.
We just made a policy that says that the schools have to be named after the geographical area. Parsley would not be a geographical area name.
The board adopted the new school naming policy on a 5-1 vote, with Bill Rivenbark voting no. From here, the community will have at least 60 days to submit names on the school board's website. Caitlin Freund, WHQR News. From closed schools to lost jobs and struggling businesses, add the census count to the growing list of things affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Rachel Keith reports on how the count has been going and what to expect when the census closes on September 30th.
The United States Census happens every 10 years and it counts everyone who lives in the country. But in recent years, underfunding, a proposed controversial citizenship question, and a general distrust of government have contributed to a reduced response rate. Then came the coronavirus. Lauren McConville is a communications and outreach coordinator for New Hanover County and is heading up local attempts to get residents to answer the census. She says the pandemic derailed their efforts.
Yeah, unfortunately, our entire campaign was based around in-person events. So linking up with things like the Azalea Festival or different events that were happening around the county during the busy spring and into summer season.
Instead, local governments and nonprofits who support the census effort have switched to more digital and online communication. That means it's critical for people to have internet access. Rebecca Tippett is the director of Carolina Demography at UNC's Carolina Population Center. She says for both rural and communities of color, that can be a challenge.
We see a strong relationship between low internet access and lower rates of response. But realistically, I think the census came out at a time during incredible distress.
But according to McConville and Tippett, officials are working hard to try and capture the responses for these areas, despite the fact that federal government officials moved the deadline up from October 31st to September 30th. Here's Lauren McConville.
I think it's terrible. And this is just my personal opinion, you know, but that's 1 month less to count people in those hard-to-count neighborhoods and populations. You know, we're seeing FEMA dollars, which are part of those federal funding points that are decided by the census. Now just think about FEMA dollars for the next 10 years and how that's going to be impacted.
Officials with the Census Bureau say they've moved up the date to ensure they can make their own reporting deadlines to Congress. But Rebecca Tippett says that gives census workers little time for door-to-door follow-up with non-respondents.
So we're seeing both a shortening of the data collection period and a shortening of the processing period. I'm concerned about the impact both of those will have on the completeness and accuracy of the count.
So what's actually at stake? What does the census count mean for our communities? Here's Lauren McConville.
With the increase in population that we've seen even over just the past 10 years, just think about what that's going to look like in 5 years from now. And not having the federal funding that we need to support infrastructure, roads, schools, all the other assistance programs.
Rebecca Tippett also says that getting the census count right means more political power for the state.
The census is the foundation of how we distribute seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. North Carolina is currently projected to pick up a 14th seat, and the census data will also be used in redistricting.
The goal for New Hanover County is an 80% response rate. If you haven't filled out your census form, workers could be knocking on your door in the coming weeks. They will be wearing an official Census Bureau badge and personal protective equipment. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
For information on how to fill out the census form or to see how the region is doing in its response rate, go to WHQR.org. You're listening to The Weekly from WHQR Public Media. On Coastline this week, experts think the economy of southeastern North Carolina could come out ahead post-pandemic. Adam Jones, a regional economist at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and Megan Lewis, director of programs for Cape Fear Collective and project manager for Cape Fear Talent, joined Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Wednesday's conversation. You can listen to that complete discussion online at whqr.org. And the week ends with coronavirus still leading the news. At his Thursday press conference, Governor Roy Cooper said he'd like law enforcement to help enforce the mask mandate by educating the public and, if needed, issuing citations. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn has more.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper credits social distancing, the early shutdowns, a cautious reopening, and face masks with bringing down the coronavirus numbers in North Carolina. There is a clear correlation between those measures, Cooper says, and North Carolina avoiding the spike now happening in other southern states. That's why people can expect to see increased enforcement of the mask mandate and limits on large gatherings.
First, we are encouraging businesses to take control here. We think this is good for not only the safety of their customers and their employees, but it's also good business for them. We're encouraging people, if you're in a retail store and you see people not wearing masks or employees not wearing masks, to tell the management. We want law enforcement to be more involved in this process.
But that doesn't mean more arrests, says Cooper. It's more about public education and, if necessary, citations. Officials also say the number of daily COVID-19 tests is dropping. That's the one metric they'd like to see go up, especially now that the turnaround time for test results is usually about 2 to 3 days. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.
And for daily coronavirus updates, visit WHQR.org. And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. You can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM. Visit our website or stream us online anytime at whqr.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.